Thank you, Holy Spirit. Precious friend. Stand by. Strengthener. The great spirit. Fire and peace. Holy Spirit. We love you. We honor you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Are you glad to be here this morning? Please put your hands louder for Jesus this morning. Amen. Just before you get seated, God is doing a quick walk today. We don't have all the time. And 2 years ago, we had a recharge conference. And one of our great speakers, Apostle Joshua Selman, I remember we had an awesome time, and after the a session at the end of the service, we came, praise the Lord, we came to this facility then. It was just very rough foundation, and I remember we prayed together. It just dawned on me when just some days ago, I said, wow, we came and we're the other side now. We're worshiping in this dome. So I don't know if we have the video introduction. Let's have the video introduction of Joshua Selman. Will give us a word of charge. And then after that, the voice you will hear next is Apostle Joshua Selman.
Apostle Joshua Selman Niba, an anointed minister of the gospel with a strong apostolic unction. He is the founder of Eternity Network International, ENI, an apostolic ministry with a mandate to replicate the fullness of God's life on the earth. His ministry has grown in leaps and bounds, reaching thousands across the globe. His deep insight into God's word comes from a place of revelation, having encountered Jesus and the Apostle Paul at different times in the course of his ministry. He is the host of Koinonia, a weekly apostolic, prophetic, and evangelistic meeting that hosts passionate believers from all over Zaria and other parts of Nigeria. Global Impact Family, please, let's make welcome Apostle Joshua Selman to Recharge Conference 2021.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Thank you. Hallelujah. While standing, I'd like us to very quickly appreciate and honor the angel over this house, Pastor Yemi David, and his lovely wife. Celebrate them. Please do well to also celebrate every man, every woman of God in this place. I honor you sincerely. Thank you. Hallelujah. I have a few minutes this morning to just charge our hearts. And it truly is an honor to be here. Amazed to see what God can do. Creator of the universe, what can't you do? What can't you do, Jesus? You're the name above every other name. What can't you change? What can't you change, Jesus? You are able, great and mighty God. You are able, Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us this morning, Father, and I pray in the name of Jesus that your word will come to build, to lift, to bless, in Jesus' name. Jeremiah 30 and verse 19. Please be seated. Pastor Yemi David, thank you again. I truly love you and I'm honored to be here. Thank you, sir. Jeremiah 30 and verse 19. Just a quick charge to bless our hearts. Jeremiah chapter 30 and then verse 19. It says, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those that make merry. Is someone saying amen?
Amen.
I will multiply them. King James, please, KJV. It says, and they shall not be few. I will glorify them, it says, and they shall not be small. Hallelujah. Multiplication is part of God's commission as far as the dominion mandate is concerned. In the details of the dominion mandate as we have in Genesis 1 and verse 28. Genesis 1 verse 28, the Bible says, and God blessed them and mandated us to have dominion. And he described the entire scope of man's reach and then the character and the nature of that dominion. Here's what he says. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So multiplication is part of the mandate. The mandate for dominion requires that everything God gives you multiplies. Are we together? It is consistent with God's character that every time he gives to man, whatever it is that he gives to man comes in the form of a seed. You will seldom have God give people harvest as the first instance of his giving. He would give a seed alongside the grace and the wisdom for multiplication. You have to understand this. It is a seed and then the grace and the wisdom for multiplication. Now, every time God blesses men with seeds, can come as wisdom, graces, creativity. It doesn't matter what expression. Seed just means the beginning and the foundation. Are we together? The life-giving factor of anything is a seed. Now, he does not expect that seed to remain at that level. In Matthew chapter 25, for the sake of time, remember, he speaks about the parable of the talents that he gave unto one five. He gave unto one two talents. He gave unto one one. And then the Bible says the one with five went and traded it. And then he brought back 10 talents. Five more. The one with two traded it, brought back 2 talents more. And then the one who had a single talent. You can see that the giver was just in his allocation. Because the end of the story shows his wisdom. The one with the one talent, full of offense and full of laziness and complacency, when stewardship was demanded of them, here's what he says. I know you are a hard man. You like to reap where you do not sow. And so, I buried your talent and here's your one talent and give to you. And the owner of the talent called him a wicked, number one, and number two, unprofitable servant. Something is wrong every time God blesses us and we remain at that level and we do not multiply what he's given us. If he gives us seed as wisdom, as grace, as power, he expects that we multiply it. Is God blessing someone? That means nothing should remain at the same level in your hands. And whatever makes things to remain at the same level, in the name of Jesus, we command it to leave your life now. I should not come and find you at the same level at any point in your life. The Bible says it this way, the path of the just is as a shining light. Are we Bible students? That shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. You should never be found at the same level, spiritually, intellectually, financially, in your influence, your capacity to understand. It should never be at the same level. The grace and the instinct for multiplication. To multiply means to increase exponentially. To increase exponentially. Greater levels of the same results. Are we blessed? Scripture is full of God's promises as far as multiplication is concerned. Let's run through a few of them. Genesis 22 and verse 17. The Lord there was speaking to Abraham. Genesis 22, 17. Speaking to Abraham about multiplication. Genesis 22 and verse 17. We'll just walk very quickly because of time. You can just write it down. And then Genesis 26. Genesis 22, 17. Genesis 26 and verse 4. This is God speaking to Isaac now about multiplication. In Genesis 28 and verse 3, Isaac is speaking to Jacob, and in the blessing, multiplication is captured. I'm just showing you instances in scripture from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. In Genesis 35 and verse 11, apologize, I'm rushing just to maximize time. Genesis 35 and verse 11, also an expression of the blessing. And lastly, Genesis 48 and verse 4, among many other scriptures. 22, 17, Genesis 26, verse 4, 28, verse 3, 35, verse 11, 48, verse 4. All of these scriptures in communicating the blessing have in them the dimension of multiplication. That means if the blessing is truly upon you, among the many things it should produce is multiplication, exponential increase at every level. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Now, but my charge this morning is not really over the subject of multiplication, but then a word of caution. In Genesis 18, Deuteronomy 18, I meant to say, there seems to be, as revealed from that scripture, a weakness. Please pay attention. There seems to be a weakness and a limitation in all men. When we experience increase, when we experience abundance, when we experience notable achievements, ease, breakthroughs, etc., that every time men seem to advance notably in their lives, there is a weakness that state of prosperity creates. Genesis 18:1. Be patient whilst we read, and then we'll observe two words of caution, and that becomes my charge this morning. Inasmuch as it is in our mandate to multiply, to increase, to advance, to move from one level of triumph to another, like we're gathered here to celebrate this massive work of faith, there is a word of caution that comes to us from scripture. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 1. Let's start from verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Did I say 18? Please, Deuteronomy 8. I beg your pardon. Deuteronomy 8. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. Be patient and please pay attention. In the wilderness, to humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commands or not. You know what he's saying here? Do not waste your pain and do not waste your history. That your history is an anchor that will keep you when you rise. No matter what it is that you've gone through in life, God is saying in his economy, nothing is a waste. That you must archive your pain, your disappointments, your frustrations. They become the anchor that strengthen you in the presence of greatness. There is a side effect to greatness without a history. It does not bring sustainability of that result. Are we following? Verse 2. Thou shall... Okay, let's go to verse 3 for sake of time. We're reading down to... let's say 18. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Verse 4. It says, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Somebody say good land. It is God that brings men into a good land. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. What a land. A land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates. A land of oil, olive and honey. It says, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Say amen. Amen. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou may dig brass. When thou hast eaten, this is where the problem starts. When thou hast eaten and art full, and then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given you. 11 now is where the caution starts. Beware. Someone say beware. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and have full, there's something satisfaction does to men. Satisfaction seems to have an ability to erode the memory of God's consciousness and God's faithfulness. He's giving a word of caution here. Usually hunger seems to drive men to remember that there is a God in heaven. But when you are full and you are excelling, when everything begins to multiply in your life and testimonies, prayer points become testimonies. It says, lest when thou art eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. We're almost done. And when your herd and your flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and thou and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from a house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness. Are we still here? Wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water from out of the rock of flint. 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he may humble thee and that he may prove thee to do thee good at thy later end. Verse 17. And thou shalt say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand has done me this. And then verse 18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto your fathers, as it is this day. Two words of caution the Bible gives us in the presence of plenty, in the presence of increase, in the presence of abundance, in the presence of results. That let it be that when these things begin to happen to you, when your prayer requests have become your testimonies, when men begin to celebrate your achievements and you begin to make notable advancements. Number one, the first word of caution is do not forget to keep his commandments, his judgments, his statutes. Do not forget to keep his commandments, his judgments, his statutes. You find that in verse 11. This is the first side effect that happens to men in the presence of results. Do not believe anyone who tells you results do not have an effect on you. No. Genuine, notable, ever increasing results. It doesn't just have an effect on those who listen or follow or participate, your audience. Even you, the one who God has used to produce the results, your own results can destroy you. The first thing results can do is to make you change the formula that brought you there. The first side effect is that usually you will find no need again to obtain grace and discipline to walk in keeping with the results that brought you there. There's no pressure. Every point to be proven has been proven. Complacency is the danger that happens when you are at the place of success. And so he says, do not change the principles. If prayer brought you here, keep praying. If fasting brought you here, keep fasting. If the study of the word brought you here, if character brought you here, do not tamper with the formula. Are we together? Most times, people do not last because they stop doing what brought them to the place of greatness. No prayer again. No fasting again. No passion for souls again. No passion for everything. Listen, whatever brings you to the table of greatness is what sustains you while you are there. You must obtain grace. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Do not just enjoy success. Study it. Study the process and the pathway. Let me tell you this. The greatest part of success is not the result. Is the person you become when you get there. Your becoming is more important than your obtaining. You have to know this. There is a version of you that you need to evolve to be successful. And when you have evolved to that version, stay there and keep moving. Are we blessed this morning? It's the reason why, sadly and respectfully speaking, we have a lot of balloon success. People go up today, and then next tomorrow they just evaporate. A business thrives today, and you find out that all kinds of compromises, bending the standards that brought them to excellence. You must make up your mind. Let this be a word of caution from scripture. Every time you begin to rise, a champion is the one who has something to protect. A failure has nothing to lose. He's already a failure. So the higher you rise, the more you must pay attention to the principles that kept you there. Peg them like pillars and anchors around your life. Surround your life with them like chariots, and they will keep you moving. That 10, 20, 30 years after now, you are still standing, moving in ever-increasing glory. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. So the first caution has to do with abiding the discipline to keep the principles that have kept you afloat, the principles that have kept you in the position of influence, greatness, prosperity, anointing, whatever it is. You must obtain grace to walk in keeping with that principle. Caution number two is found in verse 17. Please give it to us. The second caution for this charge this morning is found in verse 17, Deuteronomy 8, 17. It says, and thou say in your heart, the heart has a voice, it can speak. My power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Please look up. Let me share with you something. You see, in this kingdom, owners are rebels. We don't own things in this kingdom. We are given stewardship of everything. The prodigal son was a steward, but he wanted ownership. Stewardship means you have access under the supervision of an authority. Ownership is in your name, and let it be within your control. Lack and danger and depletion starts every time there is ownership consciousness. You may freely eat of the tree, but it's not your own. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Are we together? Yes. We live in a world where generally because of a background, especially our dear continent of Africa, we come largely from a background that is full of deprivation of all sorts. So when we achieve results like this and the eyes of the world is on us, usually the temptation is to attempt to use subliminal ways to let the people and drum it in the minds of people that this is a product of my wisdom, this is a product of my intellect, this is a product of my results. Most times you find a lot of arrogance. This is what the Bible calls the pride of life. Are we together now? The pride of life. Listen, the pride of life is different from pride. The pride of life is the self-glorification that is derived in the presence of obvious achievements. If you don't have results, you cannot have the pride of life. You can have pride, but not the pride of life. The pride of life is on the strength of obvious achievements, obvious results. Are we blessed? So he leaves us with two words of caution. Never credit the Lord's doing to your wisdom, to your intellect, and to your power. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord. Please say it after me. Trust in the Lord. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Then it says, lean not on your own understanding. It acknowledges that you have understanding, but it says, lean not on your own understanding. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So when the Bible says, thou shalt remember the Lord, he does not mean thou shalt bring him into memory. The word remember, dear, means thou shalt acknowledge the Lord thy God. To acknowledge means to place value and to place worth on a person. To acknowledge does not mean to barely recognize presence. Don't add God among the many equations of your success and push him into one of no. Except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. They will labor, but it's in vain that build it. It's like, except the Lord watches over a city, the watchman watcheth but in vain. It's that it is vain to wake up early in the morning and to sleep late at night, only to eat the bread of sorrow. But he gives his beloved sleep. As we prepare to receive further in the course of this conference, it is important that our hearts be inclined to understand that number one, multiplication is God's desire for me. Multiplication is God's desire for you. Do not let people preach you into a life of mediocrity and stagnation as a way of communicating spirituality. Everything that is alive grows. Stagnation is proof of death. Whatever it is that God gives you should grow. Your finances should grow. Your influence should grow. Your wisdom should grow. Your access should grow. Are we together? Your relationship should expand. That is proof that the blessing is upon you. However, take note of the side effect. The human nature craves, number one, to be complacent over the principles that take you like an elevator lifts a man from ground floor to the highest floor. There are principles that take men from where they are to the place of destiny. He's saying that these principles are not only responsible for lifting, they are responsible for maintenance. If they lift you, they keep you. And number two, the tendency to want to receive self-glorification. In truth, when God lifts you, you will be honored. He says, the hour has come, John 17 and verse 1, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, the hour has come, glorify now thy son, that thy son will bring you glory. The glory of God is in the glory of the saints. So you will be lifted. You will become an inspiration to many and you will influence many. But you must be wise enough to become like an usher who can direct men and say, there is nothing I can do by my strength. Inasmuch as God has given me wisdom, he has given me insight, I confess that if it had not been the Lord who had been by my side. You must unashamedly let men see that Jesus is the doer, that Jesus is the lifter. And can I tell you this? You've heard my teachings. Years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, son, if you will let men see me, there is nothing I will not give you. Please rise up on your feet. Just two prayer points very quickly. Prayer point number one, I obtain grace for multiplication, even in this season. Go ahead and pray. Is someone praying? Lift your voice and begin to pray. Let it be from the depth of your heart. I obtain grace, the grace that multiplies. Someone is praying. Sheke parakato sadebeke rebada katalabasia. Shkele paron taskada brateke tebeleketa. And he blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion, lift your voice and pray. Last prayer point, you are going to pray, Father, as you lift me, the grace to walk in keeping with the principles that took me there. And then number two, the grace to acknowledge you in the midst of my success, in the midst of my result. The grace to tell the world you are the doer. I resist the temptation of the flesh that derives glory in self-glorification. Lift your voice and pray. Is someone praying? Is someone praying? Someone pray. If someone pray, lift your voice and pray. Let it be from the depth of your heart.
We receive grace. We receive fresh grace. Lord, as we rise, we receive grace.